You're at home or on the road with the Weekend Go Show, Monitor 66. This is David Wayne. 3 minutes from now, pianist Roger Williams offers some interesting opinions about youth, their music, and their protest demonstrations. I'm sure you'll hear no protest at our decision to play Mexican Shuffle with the Johnny Man Singers. By the way, before you shuffle off to bed tonight, set all the clocks ahead 1 hour. Daylight saving time arrives tomorrow, and here's a word in connection with that fact.
Daylight saving time is almost here, so you people who get up with roosters are really in a pickle. How can you set a rooster ahead? By the time you get him retrained, daylight time will be over. Better get a new rooster. Better yet, sell the rooster to a delicatessen. And get a Big Ben or a Baby Ben or a Ben Electric. Those are all alarm clocks by West Clocks, the world's largest manufacturer of timepieces. And right now, when you buy a Big Ben, a Baby Ben, or a Big Ben Electric, you can get a smart new 498 Pert Electric wall clock for only $2.88. You save $2.10. Go to your drug department or jewelry store. Buy a Big Ben or a Baby Ben or a Big Ben Electric by West Clocks and get your Pert Electric wall clock and save $2.10. Oh, by the way, no trade-ins on used roosters.
How about a little word association right now? All right, when I say the song title, Autumn Leaves, there's only one name that should immediately come to mind. Got it? Well, if you answered Roger Williams, go to the head of the word association class. Mr. Williams' talent as a pianist is established fact, and he has a long line of popular hits to prove it. Perhaps a lesser-known fact is that he's also one of the most popular concert attractions on campuses, coast to coast. During a recent college concert tour, he shared some interesting comments on youth in this backstage chat with Monitor reporter Burl Womack.
Roger, in your travels around the country, do you find the college set digging this popular music the way you play it?
Yes, very much. One thing about kids now, parents worry a lot about the fact that their teenagers are pretty crazy about rock and roll. But you'd be surprised at the transition that most of these young people make between high school and college. By the time they get to college, a great many of them are progressive jazz fans. And they're very Catholic-minded as far as music. They like everything when they get to college. And we play a great many college concerts in our yearly travels. And I like to play especially for the college crowd.
Speaking of the college age, Group, what is your thought, or do you have a thought, on the so-called protest movements that are, well, showing up in music and in college demonstrations and this, that, and the other?
I didn't know you were going to ask me a question like this, but I'll tell you very honestly how I feel. Many parents come up to me and complain when their children go and scream for the Beatles. I had one father tell me, he said, "I was never so embarrassed in my life, Mr. Williams. I took my daughter to a Beatles concert, and all she did the whole time was scream." Well, I took my girls to Beatles concerts, too, and I was thrilled when they yelled and screamed, because that's the age when kids have got to get off steam in some one way or another. And if you don't get it out of them in the athletic programs in school, or if you don't let them work out their feelings in rock and roll or cheering sections or something, you're going to have a bunch of protesters on your hands. Now, I don't believe in this protesting. I really don't, Burl. I think when kids are going to school, they're there to go to school. At least that's the way I feel. And I think that most of the people that are doing these things are people that have not been able to express themselves in any other way. And it has to come out in some way. And I think this is the way that it's coming out. And this is the wrong way for it to come out. That's why I like rock and roll. I think it's great when the kids get out and dance and work off their steam. I think it's, in most cases, a very harmless avocation, and I think we parents should be pretty doggone glad that our kids are doing it that way.
Roger, looking back over the years that you've been playing professionally, what would you rate as your group?
I think one of the biggest thrills I had was in Chicago. I played a concert at the Opera House there, and I had just played the last number, and I went off stage, and I noticed that all the stagehands were standing up applauding me. Well, I had never seen this before, so I went back on stage and played another number, and this time I came out, they were standing up and clapping and shouting bravo, and I was so thrilled, I went over to one of them. I said, "You know, fellas, I feel like I finally arrived when you give me a standing ovation." And the one big guy looked at me and he said, "Mr. Williams," he says, "I've got to level with you." He said, "If we can just keep you out on that stage for 2 more minutes, we all go into overtime."
Thank you very much, Roger Williams. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. This is Burl Womack reporting for Monitor.
Having spoken his mind on the various trials and triumphs of youth, here's Mr. Williams with a demonstration of exactly why he is such a big man on campus. The song was, of course, The Sweetest Sounds, All weekend, you get sweet sounds, as well as interesting, informative, and stimulating sounds and stories right here on the Monitor Beacon. David Wayne, your host, as Monitor continues. A brief word on behalf of the American Cancer Society. If you've been thinking of taking the American Cancer Society's advice about protecting your life against cancer with a yearly health checkup, take action now. Call your doctor for that appointment. Help conquer this disease. Fight cancer with a checkup and a generous check when an American Cancer Society volunteer calls on you.
The shadow of your smile when you are gone will color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love, and see all the lovely things to me. Our wistful little star was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I. Your smile. Now when I remember spring, joy that love can bring, I will be remembering the shadow of your smile.
Trini Lopez singing this year's Academy Award-winning song. A new theory of crime prevention is being tested in the state of Nebraska. In the belief that impressionable youngsters often see only easy money, excitement, and glamour in a life of crime, and none of its fear, sordidness, and grief, officials have put together a unique group of traveling speakers. The speakers are all convicts, criminals convicted of major crimes who are prisoners of the Nebraska State Penitentiary. They travel outside the prison walls to speak to high school groups and educators, delivering frank self-portraits of their criminal lives. With more details of this unusual story, here is Walt Cavanaugh of NBC station KFAB in Omaha.
The first such outside trip was made recently to Boys Town, Nebraska, the famous boys' home on the outskirts of Omaha. Our microphones were on hand. Here are some of the highlights.
So at 18, I picked up the pistol. I thought this was the way I was going to make it, because when I had that pistol in my hand, nobody was going to defy me. I could walk in, steal, rob, get out, and get away. And I thought I'd never get caught. Never get caught. Well, I robbed and I shot my way into a brand new car, a fabulous wardrobe, and money that I could literally burn because money was cheap to me. I hadn't worked for it. I hadn't earned it. It meant nothing to me. So I just spent it as fast as I got it. I got shot four times in the process, almost killed once, but that didn't stop me. But there was only one catch to this method of living. Once I started, I couldn't stop. Because there was no settling down or becoming respectable. Because I knew right behind me were the police. They were looking for me. So I couldn't hold an honest job because they'd check. Keep moving, keep stealing, keep shooting. I finally killed a man in the perpetration of a robbery.
Another of the prison speakers was also raised by his grandparents and is also doing life for murder. But other than that, his story was entirely different.
I came from a small Nebraska town, and At an early age, went to live with my grandparents. My mother and father, they preferred alcohol over their children. So I was raised by my grandparents, who became my foster parents. I lived a normal adolescent life, went to school, attended church regularly. I was considered a responsible, matured young man in the community. In high school, I participated in all sports. In my senior year, I was class president. Also, I made honorable mentions in football for all state. After graduation, I was given the responsibility of managing my grandparents' ranch. I even had a high school sweetheart that I planned to marry. At this stage of my life, I achieved my goals, or at least I had a good start on it. My ambition was to become a rancher, and my dream came true. But then, I let the community, my grandparents, but most of all, I let myself down. I picked up a girl one night I knew, and before the evening was over with, I killed her. The community respected me so highly that I wasn't even suspected. After several months had passed, I finally confessed. I was tried and convicted, was tried for a first-degree murder and sentenced to a life sentence.
Up until then, he had never received as much as a traffic ticket. The contrast continued with the appearance of another convict, older than the others. He said he'd been fighting the law for the last 30 years. He began stealing at the age of 12, and by the time he was 19, he was in prison for burglary.
Well, my life has been like a television rerun ever since, in and out of penitentiaries. I've been convicted 7 times. I've been convicted of 7 felonies, and I've spent 20 years in the penitentiary on those 7 felonies. Take a good look at me. I'm 46 years old. I started out just like you guys. I was young once. I had my hopes, my dreams. Look where I wound up. 20 years behind those walls then. I don't have anything. I don't own these clothes. I don't own these shoes. I can't even buy a package of cigarettes. You wonder about the money we steal? I stole some money. I'll tell you where it goes. You go out and make that score, it goes to your fineman, it goes to your lawyers. You're fair game if anybody wants to put the arm on you. Anybody that knows you, if he wants a few bucks, you better give it to him. Because if you don't, he's on that phone, he's going to call the police. They're going to have you back in jail. So it's a little cheaper to pay those people. They wind up with all the money, you wind up in the penitentiary. And as far as family's concerned, I've been married 3 times. Every time I go to prison, I lose a wife. I've got 7 children. Some of them about your age, some of them a little older, maybe. They don't even acknowledge that I'm their father. They can't. No kid wants to go to school and tell his teacher. Teacher asks him, what does your father do? Well, they get up in front of him in penitentiary. He's a burglar, safecracker, cigarette man. Kids are not going to do that, so consequently, they don't even acknowledge me. My mother is the same way. I go home, I knock on the door. If I'm driving a car, I drive out in front of the house. My mother looks out the door. She says, "Where'd you steal the car?" I come in her house. She looks back over my shoulder. She, you know what she's looking for? She's looking for a cop. She don't want a cop in her house. She's figured there's one follows me all the time. But I look back at my life, I can never see one good thing that came of it. And when I went to prison, I was 19. My father came to visit me. My father and mother, that was the first time, and that's the only time I've ever seen them in there. They never come anymore. He gave up. But my old man took a look at me and he said, "Son," he said, "a minute. I'm going to get out of this bootlegging business I'm in. Then I'm going to get me a legitimate job. I'm going to try to give your brothers and sisters a chance that I never gave you." He did this. Thank heavens. I have 3 brothers and 2 sisters that turned out pretty nice. I had a brother that's got a college education. He's a school teacher. I have another brother who was a much decorated hero during World War II. I have 2 sisters. One lives right here in Omaha. They have nice families. They live decent, clean, respectable lives, which I wish now as I look back that I would have done. It's a little late now, but you can do that.
And there, in part, is the story of probably the most unique group of traveling speakers across the country today. Prisoners from the Nebraska Penitentiary who are making periodic visits outside the walls to tell their stories to groups of high school students and educators. This is Walt Cavanaugh reporting for Monitor. Thank you.
Gypsy Faith's Orchestra playing 1, 2, 3. And when you're traveling on the weekend, it's just that easy as 1, 2, 3, to dial monitor. We're available on NBC stations from coast to coast, and Winslow, Arizona hears us on KINO. Greetings to all stations who sign in now, after which monitor returns to brighten more of your Saturday evening. This is David Wayne.
This is Monitor on NBC.
Wonder what's on.
No matter where you stare with your ears, there is only one monitor.
Is so right, Ken Nordine, I mean. There is only one monitor, headquarters for ear starers every weekend. I'm David Wayne. Peggy Lee is ready and waiting. So if you're looking for a spot of music, this must be the place.
Baby, you're improvable. It won't take long. Mountains can be movable.
I hear someone say, what's new? Well, daylight savings time is, and it'll be in effect tomorrow. So before you retire tonight, set the clocks ahead 1 hour. And speaking of clocks...
Daylight saving time is almost here, so you people who get up with roosters are really in a pickle. How can you set a rooster ahead? By the time you get him retrained, daylight time will be over. Better get a new rooster. Better yet, sell the rooster to a delicatessen and get a Big Ben or a Baby Ben or a Ben Electric. Those are all alarm clocks by West Clocks, the world's largest manufacturer of timepieces. And right now, when you buy a Big Ben, a Baby Ben, or a Big Ben Electric, you can get a smart new 498 Pert Electric wall clock for only $2.88. You save $2.10. Go to your drug department or jewelry store. Buy a Big Ben or a Baby Ben or a Big Ben Electric by West Clocks and get your Pert Electric wall clock and save $2.10. Oh, by the way, no trade-ins on used roosters.
Monitor invites you to meet a millionaire each week as a regular feature. You have an opportunity to become closer acquainted with some of the nation's leading executives from all fields. This week, our guest is Joseph P. Williams, the president of one of the country's biggest credit card organizations and a man who's recognized as a sports authority as well as one of America's 10 best men. He describes his way of life and offers some advice to young men on the way up as he talks with Monitor reporter Charlie Holmes.
Joe Williams, how much does a top executive's wife contribute to his career and his success?
Well, I think there are many ways that a wife contributes that are not written up today. I think one is in the way she lives and acts with you so that you're not carrying family problems into the office. This, to me, is the greatest contribution a wife can make, that you're not carrying problems over into the office.
I believe you have your own liveried chauffeur and limousine, and he's also a kind of personal valet for you. Is this something you've always wanted?
Well, I've had a chauffeur from the company for 3 years. The main reason was to save me time, not only time in reaching a destination and avoiding the parking, but also the time that I have gained back in reading. Mm-hmm. I believe that today, as an executive, that you must have a minimum of 20 hours a week to keep up with what's going on. I'd ride in a car about 1,000 miles a week. All the daytime hours are reading hours for me.
I see.
Now, this is the greatest advantage of having the chauffeur.
It's my understanding that you have quite a huge office in your firm, an office in size, that is, and that you're some 6 or 7 vice presidents all sit in one huge room without private offices. This leads me to ask, are you the man that makes all the decisions?
No, there are reasons for this. I like to have within the office a settee, side chairs, so that with most of the people who come in and talk with me, we do not talk across the desk. I think we should be more relaxed. I also believe that employees of a company take great pride in the type of an office a chief executive has. And I know this is true because of visitors who have come in not just to see me, but to see the office. As far as the other fellows are concerned, I did this because I believe that their greatest value to themselves and to the company is to maintain communications. They have conference rooms which they can use for private conversations. But this forces these fellows to live and work together during their business hours in a way that you cannot get the same association with a series of private offices. I don't like walls between executives.
Do your men call you Joe or Mr. Williams?
All the executives call me Joe.
Well, if a young man asked to see you and he wanted advice on how to become wealthy, what would you tell him?
Well, I think there are several ingredients. One is that you must have knowledge in what type of thing you're going to get into. Now, this knowledge can come from reading. It can come from association with people. It can come partly from education. It can come from a series of avenues. Regardless of the depth you have in any one of these, you must also have to have a willingness to sacrifice personal time, to have an understanding at home that this time is being invested in the future, so that the concentration of time mainly from Monday morning until Friday night is devoted to the future.
Thank you, Joseph P. Williams, president of Uniserv Corporation, which operates Unicard, one of the nation's leading credit card organizations. This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
And so, armed with Mr. Williams' advice, you too may become a millionaire. Take the musical route and amass your fortune the way John Gary has started, by singing songs like his latest one, Don't Let the Music Play.
Our favorite song tears me all apart. I think of love and of gold. Did she ever go? Oh, how I miss her so. Don't let
but someday soon, maybe she'll come home. And then I won't be so all alone. Who'd ever think that a song would make everything go so wrong? Don't let the music play.
Stage performance by the women folk coming up next on the Monitor Beacon. Once again, it's Monitor, and this is David Wayne. Next, Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live at leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls throughout the world. Our star right now, the singing group called The Women Folk, the place San Francisco's hungry eye, the song Jane, Jane.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Jumped over the moon.
But the bridge has fallen down.
Green rainbow.
Mockingbird, Jane, Jane. One for to whistle, Jane, Jane. One for to sing, Jane, Jane. One for to do, Jane, Jane. Oh, say a little thing, Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane. Hey, Jane, Jane, my lordy lord, Jane, Jane. I'm gonna buy Jane, Jane. Three hunting dogs, Jane, Jane. One for to run, Jane, Jane. One for to shout, Jane, Jane. One to talk to, Jane, Jane. When I go out, Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane, my lordy lord, Jane, Jane. I'm gonna buy Jane, Jane. Three muley cows, Jane, Jane. One for the milk, Jane, Jane. One for the corn, Jane, Jane. One for the bread, Jane, Jane. On Christmas morn, Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane. Hey, hey, Jane, Jane, my lordy lord, Jane, Jane. I'm gonna buy Jane, Jane. Three little bluebirds, Jane, Jane. One for the bread, Jane, Jane. One for the morn, Jane, Jane. One for the week, Jane, Jane. Well, I am gone, Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane. Hey, Jane, Jane, my lordy, Lord, Jane, Jane. I'm gonna buy Jane, Jane. Three mockingbirds, Jane, Jane. One for the whistle, Jane, Jane. One for the sing, Jane, Jane. Most ain't little thing, Jane, Jane. Most ain't little thing, Jane, Jane. Jane, Jane, Jane.
Monitor on stage, and that was The Women Folk. The following message from the National Automobile Dealers Association. How long does it take for an automobile accident to happen? Usually just a moment, a fraction of a second. Take your eyes off the road for a moment. Daydream. Forget safe driving rules for a moment, and that moment could be your last. Driving is a full-time affair requiring your constant attention. Please don't forget it, even for a moment.
12 men, strong and true. 12 men
fight for you. On their heads a beret of green, 12 men, invincible, the A-team. The call, ready to give their all. They bring hope where they are seen.
12 men, invincible, the A-team. Tropical jungle rains, all the way to Africa's burning plains. Wherever there's trouble,
night or day, for the men of the green beret, and the fire of freedom's dream.
12 men, invincible, the A-team. 12 men, invincible, the A-team.
Barry Sadler's latest salute to the Green Berets, the A-team. In one moment, Irving R. Levine with a yank on baseball's spaghetti circuit. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Plymouth Fury, Belvedere, Valiant, Barracuda, Plymouth 66.
Many roads lead over the horizon, each of them an adventure, a call, a moving away from the ordinary. Reach for a special adventure with Plymouth's full-size Fury Silver Special. The specially priced Fury Silver Special, specially equipped inside and outside. Imagine a lustrous silver finish of beautiful buffable acrylic enamel, deluxe upper door moldings, sporty white walls, deluxe wheel covers, and that's just the beginning of this special adventure. Inside the Fury Silver Special, you'll find an exclusive blue all-vinyl interior. Sound exciting? It is. Everything about the Fury Silver Special is exciting, and its very special price makes it easy to own. See and drive the Fury Silver Special now at your Plymouth dealers. A special car at a special price. Plymouth, a great car by Chrysler Corporation.
This is Irving R. Levine for Monitor Sports. My guest today is Frank Granite from Cambridge Spring, Pennsylvania, an American who is playing semi-professional basketball in Italy. Frank, how many Americans are playing basketball here?
Well, there's one American playing for each Italian A-series team, and also Bill Bradley, the famous All-American, is playing for a team, Simmental, in Italy, only for the international games only.
I see. So that this A-Series is a certain classification of league, is
yes,
that it?
Yes, it's the first classification in Italy.
What is the name of the team for which you are playing?
Stella Azzurra, which in English means blue star.
Why have the Italians been importing American players?
It's said to pep up the Italian basketball, to get some spice into it.
And, of course, basketball is an American sport. Certainly, we have more experienced players. How long have they been actually playing basketball in Italy?
Well, that would be just a guess. I'd venture at 10 years.
What difference do you actually find in the style of play in Italy and in the United States?
Well, in Italy, there's more running and less thinking, I believe.
How about the spectators? What are the crowds like in Italy?
Most of them are over-enthusiastic, but places such as Naples, where the people are crazy. They wave blankets behind the basket, they throw money, paper on the floor. They're out to see their own team win, and they'll do anything to have that come about. How tall are you, Frank?
7 feet, and I weigh 250, 255.
Are you the tallest basketball player in Italy?
Yes, I believe so, within a centimeter or two.
Can you tell us something about the scale of payment for basketball players in Italy compared to the United States?
Americans, I believe the payment scale is from 4,000 up to 7,000 or 8,000. This includes food, a lodging from an apartment to several boys I know have villas.
And so this includes, the villa and so on is in addition to the 4,000?
Yes, it is.
In addition to the 4,000, yes. Can you tell us something about your plans? How long do you plan to stay and play in Italy, Frank?
Well, I believe I'll be going back to America after we finish the season. But before I go, I'd like to take a trip around Europe with my wife.
Thank you very much, Frank Granite, and good luck to you. This is Irving R. Levine in Rome for Monitor Sports.
You're always sure of the best sports coverage throughout every weekend on Monitor. Orchestra and cast your fate to the wind. Wherever the four winds blow, there's news. And wherever there's news, there's NBC. All of which means stay tuned now for NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is David Wayne.
This is Barbara Walters. Chet Huntley, Arlene Francis, Bill Cullen and I are heard each weekday on Emphasis on NBC Radio.